Hello, hello. Welcome to Kilterbot Podcast. Eddie Zamora, a.k.a. The Yum Yum Foodie here. And, of course, Senorita Megan Elizabeth is right across from me.
Hi.
Hi, Megan. And if we sound a little bit different today.
It sounds very good.
Yeah. Yeah, we're actually... I was going to say something terrible, but I'm going to hold back. We're recording in a beautiful restaurant here in Old Town Pasadena. We're recording at Alexander's Steakhouse. I mean, as many times as you've heard us talking about going out and having incredible meals, we're able to record the show today here at Alexander's Steakhouse. These guys have been around since 2015, and they specialize in dry-aged beef. In fact, they've got a 28-day dry-aged steak. Of course, the Wagyu. It is, what we're going to do today is a chef's tasting omakase style.
And, so you guys can see what we're talking about if you haven't experienced it yet, too.
Yes, you can see what we're talking about. And this dinner that we're having is exclusive to Alexander Steakhouse here in Pasadena. Megan is already like, fuck, she doesn't even wait.
Well, because you're talking and now
seconds.
I don't know how we're going to do this with two people.
It is called Kill the Bottle Podcast. We are going to be killing,
several
bits of booze, but we're doing a wine pairing along with our dinner here at Alexander Steakhouse, and I see they brought us some bubbles. I forgot to ask our lovely gentleman, Frederick, the som here, what the bubbles are, but I'm going to take a sip anyway. Megan, cheers.
Oh, my God.
Cheers to season 7 of Kill the Bottle Podcast.
Oh, yeah. My God. Mm. We've been doing this way too long.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I love you too, Megan. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. Great. Yeah, leave it up to Megan to fucking insult me in like two seconds in, she's already talking shit. Yeah. And don't worry, we're not doing this in the public. We are in the, one of the private dining rooms that they have here at Alexander's. And if you get to watch the video, please do. It's not going to be up right when the show's up, but guess what? We will tease you. Go to our YouTube channel, Kill the Bottle Podcast, subscribe, and, shortly down the road, you will get to see this video that we're shooting here.
Yeah, and please, you have to watch. Because, again, I know a lot of people that are like, oh, I've never done a tasting menu before. Mm-hmm. I've never tried this or that. And it sounds so good when you talk about it. And I'm like, well, now you can see what it looks like. So you know, if you're hesitant on pricing, if you're hesitant on any of that, it's worth it.
Yeah, it's worth it. And again, it's something that you can be very apprehensive about. And actually, I got to find out. We will find out before the end of the show what the per person is of the chef's tasting. So I don't remember off the top of my head. But yes, we will be throwing down the gauntlet of steak. I plan on having the meat sweats. Ew. By the time we're done here.
You can experience and make it so gross.
It won't be the pork sweats, Megan, so good for you.
And you sure you don't need to burp before because you didn't?
I didn't for once. I had some bubbles, so I will.
I was like, don't do it.
Thanks, Megan. Thank you. Megan is so kind. Please watch the video so you can see the kindness in Megan's eyes. That's what I want you to see. My level of sarcasm. So, Megan, how's your week?
I've had a shitty, shitty week.
Wait, hold on. How could you have a shitty week? Like, we had the Grammys.
I know.
We had a great week here in Los Angeles.
Did we?
We did flood. It was intense. I will tell you, I've lived in LA for almost 20 years, and Sunday night, I drove to a Grammy, a viewing party at Verse, this great restaurant. You've heard us mention it before. And there was a foot of water in front of that restaurant down on Lancashire Boulevard there in Universal Studios area. Thank you. Are you going to let me
yours.
Have some of them? Or
I got one of each piece. So you can have one of each piece.
It is the worst weather that I've I've interacted with since
I've
been here. Oh, the fucking worst drive.
The highways, just so people know if you're not from here and you can eat while I say this, the highways here are not built for weather, nor are these houses on the hills, nor are the hills. It's just not built for weather. The streets are not great with rain. They're slick out here. They're not like in Colorado. We have to have ice and snow and rain. Our roads are meant for that and gritty, and you grip to them. Here you put on your brakes and your ABS comes on a lot, even when it's not raining. The roads are just slick. They're so overused. And so being on the interstate when it is pouring is the most terrifying experience because they're not built for it, because the drainage isn't great either. So you could be going 70 miles per hour, 60 miles per hour, 40, and you can go down and all of a sudden you are heading straight towards a lake and you are just like, oh, and everyone brakes and you're not supposed to brake. You're supposed to just go. You're supposed to pick a spot and steer, but everyone panics here because they're not used to it. And they hit the water and break. And that's what makes you start swerving out of the lane. In Colorado, we had our driving classes. We were required to get on a skid pad where they pulled your emergency brake. And then you had to steer as if you were on ice. And this was made for it. And we were required in our driving courses to do this. So we knew how to drive on ice. California obviously doesn't do that. At least not on this side of it. No. And it is terrifying.
But I will tell you, there is also something a little bit different about California. And that is that since it doesn't rain that much, you know, any city like my hometown, Miami, it rains a ton. So all of the oil and fluids that come out of the vehicles that normally make the roads slick are going to get washed off more often than here. Here, when that first rain hits, it is like extra slippery, extra slick. You know, oil and water don't mix. It is scary to drive on that first, you know, on that first rain. It's going to wreck you.
And schools weren't called off. So I subbed, we kept getting emails from the superintendent that was like, everyone's so thankful I didn't cancel school. And he's just like basically thanking himself for making the decision to not cancel school. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, if someone like a sub drove and like accidentally got hurt or died on the road, and you're sending these fucking emails out saying how great you are for sending people to work, like, just open the schools and just keep it down.
Yeah,
sir. I mean, that's how I lost my STEM job, was talking shit about the superintendent. But
I wouldn't put it past you. So here's a little pro tip, guys. You know a restaurant's going to be badass. By the way, we've never eaten here before. I've never eaten here, but I don't think Megan's eaten here before. You know a restaurant's going to be badass when the bread service, you know, so when the bread basket that shows up has three different types of bread that are, they're fresh and they're, three different types of butter. And one of them comes inside of like a bone, bone marrow butter.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lily
bone. That's what she would chew on.
Oh, that's
those bones.
No. If I left that bone in my house, my two dogs would go like at each other. They'd go at each other's little dog throats and try to kick each other's ass. Oy! I almost took out a wine glass, guys. Sorry.
Here, this size is a little easier to.
Oh, look at that! Look at that! Look at that! So Megan, wait. We have that on camera. Megan was nice to me, guys. We have it on camera. Oh no! Look at that!
I can edit that out. So that the rain sucked this week, and I hate complaining. And again, nothing ever tragic, but because of that, I didn't sub on Tuesday. I was just like, I'm not getting on the roads. I'm done. And I was like, I'm going to take my license test for teaching license. I have to take this test in order to keep any sort of licensure. Hi. No. Oh, more people.
Oh, hello. There's food coming, guys. Oh my God. Hi.
How are you?
I'm better now.
Lovely.
Oh my goodness. Thank you.
Of course.
What is this beautiful thing?
We want to start you off with our complimentary goose douche. This here is our arancini. It's a deep fried risotto ball with parmesan cheese, and at the base is a shiso aioli. We have a nori belted pulled all together.
Oh, amazing. Thank you so much. It's beautiful. So folks listening, amuse bouche is French for basically amuse your mouth, your bouche. That is, that's what a bouche is, mouth. So it's basically a palate, kind of a little palate starter and a little dish that comes out. So don't freak out if you go somewhere and they're like, here's an amuse bouche. You're like, I didn't order this. I'm like, we know it's complimentary.
It
you know, Megan was about to pull a pocket knife out.
It's usually like a one biter.
It's usually like a one biter, but I'm going to take a picture of this because this thing is too beautiful. So don't continue your story, please.
Oh yeah. Sorry. So yeah. I was going to take my test and I was registered for it. And then there was technical difficulties. And then they were like, hey, you can just re-register for it in a little bit. And I was like, great. So, you know, after being on hold and being told that, I got back on to re-register. Can't re-register until May now. So I studied for this test forever. There's three parts to it. And
There's three parts to your test. So our lovely gentleman that's taking care of the wines, would you be, are you the somm?
I'm gonna take care of everything for you.
Oh, spectacular. So this is Frederick's with us, and he brought us bubbles earlier, and I forgot to ask what they were.
So this is a sparkling from the region of Bordeaux named Grandial, made only with white.
So Bordeaux, Grandial, okay. Which grape would be the white?
Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay, got it. So yeah, this is a white Bordeaux sparkling wine. Chances are it's going to have one of the varietals of Sauvignon Blanc in there. Because remember, guys, when we think of champagne and it says Blanc de Blanc, it's Chardonnay. Blanc de Blanc, 100% Chardonnay. So it's a little bit different. So these are bubbles from Bordeaux. Wonderful.
Now we have the wine for the first course. And we are in Tuscany, in San Gimignano, and the grape is Vernaccia. So Vernaccia di San Gimignano.
Vernaccia di San Gimignano. San Gimignano.
Ooh, yeah,
San Gimignano. There we go. Okay. Thank you so much for it.
Yeah, oh so, and then I was like, well, you know what? I won't waste the day. I'm going to do my taxes. I filed. I was really excited about it this year. I got money back, and I owe the government, so all that money's going back, but at least I'm paying off a chunk of change. And then I filed, and then they were both rejected.
Sorry. On that note, let's do this amuse bouche.
Let's do it.
Let's do that. I'm going to get all the little sauce, all the sauce in there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's fire. That is delicious. Oh, yeah.
My week's getting better.
Yeah. it took it to get to Thursday night for it to get better, but that's fine. You know, speaking of the Grammys, how did you feel about the Grammys? I actually ended up watching some of it because I was at, you know, I was at Verse, and they were, and also congrats to Verse, Manny Mariquin. He won a Grammy for, I believe, Rock Album of the Year with Paramore. He mixed that record. So congrats, Manny, the owner of Verse, one of my favorite people. I think it's his 19th Grammy.
Wow.
Holy shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a lot. That's a lot.
What did you
of,
think of the Grammys?
Hardware. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I'm really kind of annoyed at all the, I've kind of flipped. So at first I was annoyed with Taylor Swift. Now, hold on. Now I'm annoyed at all of the Taylor Swift haters. I really am more annoyed at like, and you know, if you haven't seen it, Colin Coward from ESPN, he did this wonderful rant talking about like male fragility and how these, you know, guys are all offended that, that there's a powerful woman. Like, I'm breaking this down very loosely, but it's great. And that wasn't my experience. I was just getting annoyed of it because that's just who I am. Mm-hmm. But now I am more annoyed at any kind of hate that is going towards somebody who's successful, works hard. You know, it's just become a thing where it annoys the living crap out of me. That and people are like, oh, she's a billionaire. Yeah, I get it. I know that you have to deal with certain things when you're at that level, but the fact that they're talking that Taylor Swift is a psychop, and that everything with her and Travis Kelce is fabricated so that she can announce that, you know, endorse Joe Biden. It's pretty hilarious. Regardless of whatever you like politically, that is just the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. I mean, we've heard some dumb shit in the past few years. That is up there for me.
It's super dumb. I am worried about her. I'm not anti-Taylor. I like Taylor. Ooh, I'm for it. I haven't tried it yet.
That white wine is so good. Okay, sorry.
I'm for it. I'm jealous because like she's like living my dream, but I'm worried because both her and Travis, like at this point, like right now, in these 2 weeks, this is your pinnacle, right?
Yeah.
Like, you won a Grammy for Album of the Year. He's going to win the Super Bowl.
He better.
They're both like everybody's, America's couple right now. They're like bigger than the king and queen. And this is like, I don't see where you go from here.
Right.
You know, she's going to, maybe they get married and have kids.
Barefoot and pregnant. Yeah. At a 7-Eleven. That's where you go from here.
Is that up or is that just meh?
Barefoot and pregnant?
Yeah.
It's me.
It's down.
It's down. Yeah. No. But you know what? I'm like, she's gotten like such a bad rap. I'm so happy for that.
Oh my gosh. This
looks welcome.
Interruption. We have our next for you here.
You are not interrupting. Please. What are we having?
These are our hamachi shots. It's a Japanese yellowtail hamachi at the base with a house made ponzu sauce. We top that with some Fresno pepper and fresh shredded radish as well.
Oh my goodness. Hamachi shots.
Do you use one of these bad boys? Okay.
Thank you. Megan's like, do I do a shot?
When you
do I
say
just
shot,
take the shot?
I'll go for it.
She's like, is there fireball in this? Yeah.
So you'll mix it up before you just try and toss it back.
Okay. Great.
Awesome.
Good to know.
Thank you so much. This is so pretty.
Yeah, I love her. I think she's fine. I think she's great. I think she's a really good songwriter. I'm worried at where you go from here. You just conquered the world.
Well,
now what? That's what I want to ask her. If I had an interview with her, I'd be like, well, you just won
life. Well, we'll find out.
Now what?
It's been unprecedented.
Right.
So we'll find out.
Right.
You know, at least from what I'm getting, it's a feeling of, you know, and I don't know much about her, to be completely honest. I've been living under a rock. Nothing more than, like, you know, they make fun of the amount of relationships that she's had and that she's written all this music about, like, crappy relationships. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Let's give her a chance now to write music about a great relationship. You don't know what that's going to look like.
I don't know what that looks like.
You know?
Like.
That's cool. That might be really
great. I mean, she does have them out there, like love songs, you know, but I would like a whole album that's just, like, happy. I don't know if you can do that. And I don't like saying that either, because I got criticized when I wrote music by my boyfriends at the time, by venue owners. I got criticized for writing angry songs. They're like, oh, your songs are so angry. You talk so much shit in your songs. And it really turned me off to writing. I stopped writing because of all of that negativity I was getting from them. And now look at Taylor Swift. This is why I'm super jealous. She's just thriving off of it. Olivia Rodrigo's song, Vampire, is my new favorite song ever. I never heard it before the Grammys. And I was like, this song is brilliant. And it is straight up anger. So screw all those men in my past.
Was that the one that she performed with all the red stuff in the background?
Yeah, the blood, because it's Vampire. Were you aware?
I didn't know it was called Vampire. I was at a bar. I was at
her
the
new
bar
song.
At Verse. I couldn't hear shit. I was busy. I was drinking a cocktail and kind of watching it with the side of my, but I did notice something about that song that pissed me off a little bit. The initial beginning of that song, you can sing Radiohead's Creep to the it's the same exact chords, the same progression, and I don't know, something about it, which I guess it's great to draw inspiration from stuff, but I was sitting there and I heard the opening chords and I'm like, oh, is she gonna do a cover of Creep?
They're different.
Well, the chords are very similar.
It sounds similar, but the chorus is different. I learned it that night.
The chorus is different, obviously, but
it goes up and not down, and they go up and down.
Up and down?
Yeah.
Down and up?
How much
drinking did you do that night?
Grammys night?
Yeah.
I was by myself.
Yeah, how much drinking did you do?
At least 3 bottles of vodka. I didn't keep track. Well, on Sundays, I drink my red beers, my Modelos, my Cheladas.
Ugh, am I the only, like, well, I'm Cuban, so we don't drink michelada, but I can't get into them at all.
They're my favorite.
Why?
Because I don't like Bloody Marys. They have the Clamato in them, and they're salty and, like, just like a perfect Sunday brunch drink.
All right.
Have you tried them? The Modelo ones? The Cheladas?
No, I've had micheladas before, like at a restaurant. I've never had the Modelo. I love Modelo beer, so I'm assuming if they're going to make that product, it's going to be really good. So,
really,
you know, within that space, they make a killer beer.
Modelo should sponsor me. They just came out with this variety pack.
So hold on, wait. Is it Fireball and Modelo? Let's make a list of who should sponsor you.
Fireball's not going
besides to. Besides an Alcoholics Anonymous sponsor.
I keep seeing random new, like, people that Fireball keeps recruiting, and I'm like, I'm done with you.
Guys, Megan does not drink that much. So let me put that out there before people go off. Cause after my experience on that video on TikTok that I told you about with all the haters, now I'm like extra cautious about that shit. I'm like, no, it's a joke. Megan is not.
No, I absolutely drink that much.
Okay, fine. All right. I gave her an out. Frederick, what are we drinking now?
We are going to the southeast of France. This is a Côte de Provence Rosé. And
that's
Brisette on the 2020
vintage. So standard dry Provençal Rosé.
All right. Rosé, yes, but a couple of years on it, that the excess of acidity shave off a little bit and makes it a more fruit-friendly one.
We're not going
to a summertime, refreshing, dry, sharp, bone dry wine. We're looking at something pairing with fruit-friendly.
Got it. Thank you. Oh. So guys, I love rosé. I was ruined by this one rosé by Gerard Bertrand last year when I was at the South Beach Wine and Food Festival. I mean, and again, he makes this ridiculously expensive rosé, and it's exceptionally good. Let me see this. Oh, this is so good. Thank you, Frederick. This is delicious. Yeah, that is spectacular.
Thank you.
Oof. Just give all the bread to Megan right there, please. Just give all of it to her.
I think actually we're great.
No, I think we're
butter.
Great. Yeah, we're great. Thank you so much.
You.
Appreciate you. So yeah, I
know what was your favorite part of the Grammys?
My favorite part of the Grammys, my favorite thing was Trevor Noah. I got to give it to him because he is a comedian, and it must have been driving him crazy to not be able to make fun of people. And all he did was like compliment people, and for the most part, huh?
Why wasn't he making fun of people?
I think after the Joe Coy debauchery, and which, dude, it wasn't even that bad, at the Golden Globes, I think everybody's just more apprehensive. I'm assuming, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, when he does the Oscars, he's gonna be Jimmy Kimmel. That's just who he is.
Mm-hmm.
But since we haven't seen Trevor Noah do one of these shows, it just felt like he was a little restrained, which is fine, but he was still funny.
Yeah.
He was still funny. He was still clever. He was still sharp. He was really in the moment, but, you know, but then at the same time, I got to give it to him too, because, you know, this is the, as much as I love Ricky Gervais when he would do the Golden Globes and rip people apart is my favorite thing in the world. You know, these people are being honored. It is their night. So, you know, I guess the Golden Globes is like the Chicago of awards. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the second city. Like the Oscars, I don't see people really getting made fun of as much. You know, Chris Rock he made some J-Lo jokes that were hysterical. There was, you know,
he's legendary.
He's legendary,
he
right.
You can kind of pull that off when you're kind of a newbie.
Yeah.
You got to be careful because you're not in the in crowd yet either. Like the whole Joe Coy thing was really strange to me because I know he's blowing up in some things, but I just don't think that was a point in his career where he should do something that big.
Well, the thing is, it was handed, like, and he did it at the last minute. I'm like, dude, you know how these things work.
Yeah.
This is not your first, you know, introduction
sometimes
into the business.
Sometimes you gotta say no.
It's okay
and
to
really
say no.
I think Joe, knowing Joe, I've met Joe, and I've seen his career grow because he came on the Adam Carolla show a lot, a lot.
He's a funny guy. He's a really funny guy.
It's just, but Chelsea really ripped him. Pretty great.
And you know what? And that's what she does.
Well deserved.
Good for her. Yeah.
I thought it was really good. But I think you need to make fun of the celebrity stuff going on occasionally, and they shouldn't be overly sensitive. I don't know if that Taylor Swift and Joe Coy moment, if Taylor was even aware, because there was some, I think there was other drama happening at that award show. And I really don't think Taylor was even aware that he made a joke about her and just the.
But it wasn't even like
it was a terrible joke. We won't have as many cutaways.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. That's so offensive. Like, get the fuck out of
here. Yeah, I don't understand. But then Trevor Noah made a joke about it and said, instead of cutting away to Taylor, we're going to cut away to football players. And he went to, what's his name? Terry.
Know. Bradshaw was there? Or no?
No, it was, you guys can correct it, but they cut away to a football player and Taylor was just laughing her ass off at that. And I was like, it's kind of similar to Joe Coy's joke.
Yeah.
Why are we? I just think we caught her at a weird moment. But again, why are we paying so much attention?
Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
I mean, and again, more power to her. Good. Like, I'm glad that people watching have some story to kind of connect to. Like, they fought, you know. Now, I'm so glad it's not the royal family that people give a shit about. Because
right.
I don't give a shit about the royal family.
I do.
I know you do. But, you know, I don't. So it's just nice to see that.
Tracy Chapman. That was my favorite part.
That was great.
Because I wasn't expecting her to come out. And I haven't seen her perform in a very long time. So that was really cool. And
yeah,
my least favorite is when Jay-Z's like putting down the Grammys for Beyonce. And I realized that she wants Album of the Year. Like, I get it. But like, should we just give her all of them so we can just stop hearing about it from everybody? Like, she puts out amazing songs. But I have listened to her albums all the way through. It's just like sometimes it's too much or it's all over the place. I agree with the Grammys. A lot of these other albums that win Album of the Year are more cohesive and really good. And that's my opinion. A lot of people will disagree with that, which is fine. I realize she's amazing, but she's won so many and that's just not good enough. And it's like, sorry.
It's just hard. It's hard for me as a consumer and you know, like a student of music to because so much goes into a record, even though, you know, so if the record sucks, it's on her. If the record's great, it's on her. But, you know, when you look at the amount of writers she has on a fucking song versus like Beck or Billy Joel,
which is Beck,
you know, I don't know about Taylor Swift, but I know she writes her music. I don't know enough, so I don't want to speak to it.
But she does write a lot.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
She writes a lot. Okay, I guarantee you it's less than
Beck.
And I love Beyonce.
Me too.
But you know, stop, like, stop complaining. Who fucking cares?
Yeah, or just give them all to him so I can stop hearing him. Just give it all to Beyonce so we can just, like, okay, you won every Grammy. Can we move on? Or do we have to keep having Kanye come up or Jay-Z come up and stand up for you? It's very strange to me. It's very strange to me.
I did love U2's performance because it's so hard to do something like that. And not even, it wasn't just U2, but all the production aspect of doing, like, a live remote in, doing a song, and then boom, and you know, they're in the middle of a show and people getting to feel like they're participating in that. That's super cool. I can't imagine like being at a show and then all of a sudden they're like, guess what, guys? We're counting down. We're going to be live on the
Grammys.
Why
don't they just do the Grammys there?
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah. At the Sphere. That would be awesome.
Like, why?
Why there would have been less rain.
It would have been too much. Grammys, Super Bowl, Vegas, Taylor Swift, Kelsey.
Could you imagine? Explosion. The city would sink. Yeah.
That's like we can't have like the king and the king's son in the same like car driving. Like will happen.
Absolutely. We need to have we can't have the president and the VP in the same plane. We need to just like put them on separate. Something will go down. Megan, did you get your giant Stanley cup that, you know, you can take with you to any of your endeavors and then sip on it like a Karen?
Which, what are you talking about?
Those big fucking Stanley cups that people went bonkers. SNL had the best sketch making fun of all of those giant like mugs. I don't know what the hell they are. I don't have anyone.
That's how little that means to me. Okay. You say Stanley Cup and I think NHL still. Unfortunately, you Google Stanley Cup and NHL isn't even in the top 10 anymore. Oh. It's literally those Stanley Cups. But I was like, no, I didn't. Was I supposed to get an NHL like trophy? But
why
no.
not?
I don't know. Why not? Because I don't play hockey.
I was at a party on Wednesday, like a pre.
Do you have a Stanley Cup?
No. No, I was at a pre.
See how awesome they are, guys?
Yeah,
everyone's got them.
Who fucking cares? what do I have? I have a Yeti. Mm. That's what I have. I have a fucking nice ass Yeti cup that will like. I forgot.
What do you do with those?
Well, so here, I didn't buy it. It was when I was on that charter cruise in December. Everybody who was on board got their own Yeti cup with like a little non-slip silicone thing that would go around the bottom, and you can kind of walk around, put it on the boat, and if the boat was rocking, it wasn't going to tip over.
You should get a T-shirt that says I didn't buy it.
Forgot, I know, right? I forgot. I had a cocktail. I had maybe like a rum and coke or something, and I left it on deck overnight. It was hot as shit. Woke up the next day, went in the morning, drank water, whatever, get my coffee, blah blah blah, and I'm like, oh shit, where's my cup? I go and I find my cup, and it is still full of ice. Mm-hmm. The drink was still super cold. I was like, holy shit, these things are incredible. So I have nothing bad to say about those things.
No, there's nothing bad about it. Just people's behavior around them is kind of disgusting. But
and then I ordered some for my brother, not knowing how much they cost, for Christmas. And I was like, oh, my brother would love one of these Yeti cups. He goes out on a boat on the lake in North Carolina, close to where he lives. He goes all the time. I'm like, oh, my brother would love this. And I'm like, all right, let me get him and let me get his initials put on him and all that shit. They're like 50 something bucks for a fucking cup.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
I bought them because whatever, I committed to it, but I was like, okay.
I bought Red Solo cups for my drinks. That's what I drink.
I'm going to get you the fancy like porcelain Solo cups.
Why
don't
you just get them and write the word Stanley on them? And
I should. I should.
Look at my Stanley cups and just like Red Solo cups with Stanley written like a 2-year-old.
Do you know that about the Solo cups and the reason why they're shaped the way they are?
Mm-mm.
So, guys, a Solo cup is like those red... You know, the red cups with the white.
If you're listening to this and you don't know what a fucking
Solo cup,
get the fuck out of here.
Get out of here. All right. but no, the first line on the Solo cup is an ounce. So it's all measured out. It's a shot, like a double shot. And that's where all the lines are. So if you don't have a measuring tool, you can use your Solo cup to measure out like a shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think I did know that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I also thought I didn't know that. That's one of the things I learned on TikTok. And I believe I also learned that people are fucking assholes on TikTok. And I'm reliving that again the second week in a row. Just, you know, I just went on there occasionally just to jump in there. People are, what about TikTok makes people feel more okay being a complete dirtbag?
Because they're behind a screen.
But they're behind a screen on Instagram, too.
I get dirtbags on Instagram.
But not as much as TikTok.
Yeah.
Because I get dirtbags on Instagram. But TikTok
it's a younger
was like,
crowd.
Oh.
That are more brazen.
Got it.
With no inhibitions.
No inhibitions. They're like, no.
Yeah. They have no impulse control. They're 18 and under. Like, congratulations if you're on TikTok. You're a child. All the older people, you look at the stats and Facebook has like the most older people for sure. And then it goes a Twitter and Instagram. Instagram's like right in between. And then TikTok's like all 30 under. So they're brazen. They don't care. This is the world they grew up in. They think they can say everything and they think they're invincible. By the way, my
birthday's next week and I know what I want.
What?
For my birthday, Megan. And I want you to get
a red Solo cup with the word Stanley on it.
No, Costco.
No.
Yeah. Yep.
Drink.
Yep. Costco has a 157 piece La Crusade set. 157 people. It's like 5 or 6 grand. But you can actually go on the Costco website and order an entire, like everything that Le Creuset makes in a particular color that you want. And then boom.
Wow.
So that's what I want for Christmas. I have nowhere to put it. I just leave them out in my front yard, I think, at this point. But that's what I want for Christmas, Megan.
I can't afford that.
And my birthday.
I can't even afford that for me. Nor could any of that fit in my kitchen.
No. You don't fit in your kitchen.
To add to my week, you just reminded me.
Oh, boy.
I was going to go to the HOA meeting Tuesday night to, because it was scheduled. It's posted everywhere. Tuesday, next HOA meeting, Tuesday, February 6th. Tuesday, February 6th. So I wrote a letter out about everything that's been going on, my concerns.
I wrote a letter out, my concern.
I practiced it in the mirror. I practiced it with my neighbor. My neighbor came over. We walked down to the meeting together just to be told by security, they decided to have it last night.
So you waited all that shit. You practiced
yes.
your fucking speech.
And we're both just sitting there. And I was like, I'm done. This week is done.
And how did they notify people that it was the night
they
before?
They didn't. I got an email back. Just sent the letter to the head of the HOA lady who lives a couple floors underneath me. And she was like, I'm so sorry. Next time we'll make sure that we notify everybody for the change of meeting. I was like, I showed up for your meeting. I was very disappointed when I found out you had it yesterday.
You're like, yeah,
and
I took
a picture of, like, I've just had it. That was my whole Tuesday, and it just hasn't gotten better until now. So sorry to go back. I was like, that was all that happened, and I was upset. Oh no, no. But they are suing the neighbor upstairs. They're suing him, and then they're gonna lock the laundry doors after 10.
What?
And they're finding the dog lady that's dog like attacks and bites you if you walk past it and barks all day. And they're going to fix the jacuzzi.
I didn't know the jacuzzi was
it's
broken.
It's been broken for 2 months.
And, what did you do?
And then I didn't do anything.
They find like a mini bottle of Fireball like stuck inside
yeah,
the fire.
They might. I did go golfing with a bunch of Fireballs. There is a video of me hitting a big golf club full of Fireballs. It was like one of those plastic Fireball golf clubs.
Oh, that is ridiculous.
And I hit one with it and then it exploded and they all went flying all over the roof.
Oh,
that's
boy.
On Instagram, so you guys
yeah?
can enjoy
oh,
that.
Look at that. Let's indulge
the
in that.
Ex was filming it. So.
Oy vey.
Ugh.
Ugh. Anyway. Disgusting. So
we got Grammys, we got Shit Week.
So Megan, she messaged, she never calls. So if she calls, it's because she shit faced or she butt dialed me.
Yeah.
So Megan messaged me. She's like, this is the last restaurant. This is the last restaurant because I am going on the Whole 30 diet
mm-hmm.
after the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to book only restaurants so you just can't eat. You have to sit
oh,
there
that would
and
be so cruel.
Now it's like the next.
I'll be like, I'll start it
six,
tomorrow.
The next six shows, we're just going to be at restaurants so that Megan can't. She's just going to be a.
I could
like
eat
just sniffing.
I could eat some of the salt that's sitting here.
Yeah, so they also brought this beautiful tray of different salts, and it's labeled. What do we have there, Megan?
Black salt, smoked salt, gray salt, salts I can't pronounce, but you probably could. Canned kale.
Let's see. Kentale. What do we have? We have sel
I'm so classy. I can't pronounce it.
Black salt, cancale. I don't know what that is. Gray salt, sal de gusano. So that's worm salt. Yeah.
What does that mean?
Gusano is worm, so I don't know what
Which
that
one
means.
Is it?
That would be bottom right.
I'm doing it.
Bottom right, just do it. You've had worse things. There you go. Tasty. Salt ASMR.
Earthy.
Earthy. Yeah.
It is a little earthy, to be real.
Oh, all right. Yeah, so I love all this stuff, guys, because I can't tell you how many times I've been to like an omakase or a chef's tasting. And what we're doing right now is literally what you would have if you came here minus the microphones in your face. That is, you would have the exact same experience if you came here to Alexander's Steakhouse.
If not better, because they can focus on you a little bit more without the distraction.
Yeah, right now people are coming in, they're smiling, they're scared of us. You know, they're scared of Megan, let's be real. They're not, they're afraid of the white Karen here. That's their fear.
I'm not a Karen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not.
I guarantee you there's a picture of you in the laundry room somewhere in your building that's just like, meh. And it's you with like hair everywhere, just angry in a robe, yelling.
It is made with worms.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Sal de gusano, worm salt, is a type of seasoned salt that indeed includes insects. When ground and combined with chilies and salt, these insects create a blend that is mineral-driven, salty, earthy, spicy, and smoky.
I mean, it better be earthy. It's a fucking worm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like it.
So are you... I'm a bit of a, like a salt slut at my house. I have all these different salts. So the salts that we have here right now, like you wouldn't use these to season something before you cooked it. These are considered, you know, finishing salts. They're salts you put at the end to just add a little extra kick, a little extra something to whatever you're eating. And I have my sister-in-law one time sent me like 10 of them for Christmas, like volcanic salt, salt from Hawaii, salt from Persia, salt from, I was like, oh my God, this is great. So anyway. I love all that stuff. Megan, you...
You should try it.
I know. I have all these wine glasses in the way.
Try
all
it. Right,
let's see. Let's try the worm salt first. I like it. Smoky.
Yeah, it's like the mezcal of...
That's really good.
...of salt.
Yeah, that's really, really good. I need... I'm just going down
that's
the list.
That's smoked.
More smoky?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, but different. That's really good. And then... That's really good. It's good. We're going down the list of
salt. I'm assuming it's to put on something that's coming up, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Try that top right. That thing's beast mode. That's like the Patrick Mahomes of salt. That's good shit. Right? Yeah.
Yummy.
I know. It tastes that. I think that kind of, I don't know. It tastes like fennel a little bit to me, or my palate just could be thrown off, but.
Yeah.
It tastes a little bit like fennel. Do you like fennel?
I do like fennel. And I like the smell of fennel.
Me too.
So you told me that your dad this week.
Oh my God, my dad. One? Yeah, my dad was on one, guys. So if this is your first time listening to the podcast, I'll just give you a brief. My dad has Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and dementia. And yesterday morning, my dad calls me and wakes me up at about, I don't know, 6-something, 7 in the morning. And it's dead quiet around him. Usually I hear some noise, but. You know, because in his house, there's other people that live there. So, but no, it's dead quiet. And basically in a nutshell, my dad was lost. My dad was lost and he was on his, transport to the VA hospital. So he, you know, my father's a former veteran. I guess not a former veteran. He's a veteran. And, he goes to the VA hospital in my hometown and my dad was lost. Like my dad, he had the driver with him. And the driver was taking him to a doctor's appointment. Mind you, we have set it up so that doctors come to see him at my childhood home. But my dad, because he's Mr. Social, changes everything and tries to still go out. And then he comes home and it's always like a freak out, a regretted thing. My brother was, we were at a point where my brother and I, we both got on the phone with him. Like I'm on the phone and I'm like, oh shit, my dad's out of it. I got to call my brother. So I get my brother on the phone with him and we're both trying to decipher what the hell's going on. And then we realize he's on a transport on the way to the hospital. Mm. And then we realize he has an appointment. And my dad, I mean, what I'm telling you, Megan, it's the craziest thing to talk to somebody. And, you know, imagine we're here right now. He can't describe where he is. He's in a van. He cannot describe where he is. Exactly. Yeah. Megan's face says it all. It was a rough morning. And then here's the best part. The best part is we finally get him home. He goes to see the doctor. We get on the phone with the doctor while he's in his appointment. They run like memory tests on him to just kind of see how much it's progressed. And he gets home and finally on his way home, he starts to come to basically. He starts to like know where he is. He's more coherent. He can have a conversation. Cause what happens with people with Alzheimer's and dementia, they start to mumble and they'll get to a point where they're trying to speak to you, but they're become like a child where a kid is just like, nothing's coming out. Anyway, now my dad is like, oh no, I want to change medical services. And when we change them, I want you to tell the medical service that I've never been lost before so that they'll keep picking him up.
Oh.
Oh yeah. So we had to basically have the talk with my dad today that like, no, you are like, you're not leaving the house ever alone, mm-hmm. ever. Mm-hmm. Like this is, you know, and my dad was sitting there pleading his case to me. And in my mind, I know he just wants to go talk to girls, which is hysterical. My 80-year-old father thinks he's still got game. And that's what he lives for, is talking to women. So that's what he wants to be able to do. And he doesn't want anybody around him while he potentially talks to the girl at the front desk. Because, you know, they all want him. Potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's, and I know it's not, and I messaged our friend Chris Garcia, a friend of the show who, you know, if you heard his episode of the show and you, or if you haven't, go back and listen to it. It's a great episode. Chris Garcia, comedian, and his father had Alzheimer's, just like my dad. And, I told Chris the story and, you know, I was a little bit more vulgar in the story with Chris because, you know, my dad wants some ladies of the night. That's really what he wants.
Oh my God.
That's really what my dad wants. Let's be real. My dad thinks that he's still capable of like getting out there and doing his thing. And, Chris was just dying laughing at this, you know, cause we were laughing. He's a comedian. What are you going to do? He's like, yeah, get ready. He's like, it gets worse.
Oh God. It so, gets worse.
Yeah, it gets worse. So anyway, that's, you know, if every time you think your parents are a pain in the ass, the only good thing about my dad is that he forgets. That's the only good thing. If he's a pain in the ass, he forgets. And then you talk to him the next day and he'll remember sometimes a little bit of it, but the best part of it is that actually he forgets. Mm. So he can have a really bad day. And then the next day, it's like that never happened.
How do I convince my parents that they have Alzheimer's when they don't?
I mean, they probably wish they have Alzheimer's. after they've seen your social media posts, I think at least your dad.
Yeah.
Your dad wishes he had amnesia at least.
At least that.
Mm-hmm. At least amnesia. That's all your dad. Yeah, that's all I think your dad needs is amnesia. Pretty much. I mean, I love how you're like, oh, maybe he kind of needs amnesia.
Maybe. Poor dad.
I feel for your parents. Every time you post something and it cracks me up, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad I don't have kids.
I'm glad I do that for everybody.
No, just, I mean, for me at least.
If you were thinking about having children, just think that they could end up like this.
Yeah, what? You mean... with a job, self-sustained, and in this beautiful city, you know, saying that they were going to live here and moved and did it.
With rejected taxes and shitty neighbors. Tests that cannot be taken until May.
Yeah. I think you did all right, Megan.
Usually
Elizabeth.
I'd yell at that, but we're in a nice restaurant, so I've kept that down.
Yeah, yeah. I know. But yeah, no. I think you did okay, Megan. I think you
they
did
okay.
Just fine. So, Alexander's at the steakhouse. Have you ever had a 28-day like dry aged steak before?
I have.
Do you like? Because it is an acquired taste.
It's an acquired taste.
Do you like it?
I have preferred no age steaks in the past in some restaurants because there is a flavor to some of them sometimes that I'm just like, ooh.
Yeah, so the
but
the,
depends
that aging process. Well, it basically creates like a funk around the steak,
yeah,
and they cut that out.
Mm-hmm.
So when they dry age a steak, it gets a cap around it of, let's just say, funk.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, you know, the chef will then remove all of that, and under that cap, after those 28 days of the dry aging, is this like beautiful steak that's under there, and it's exponentially more tender than the previous one. So it definitely tenderizes the steak. It definitely creates a different kind of flavor profile to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a unique experience.
There's kind of like a happy point for dry aging for me, where it's like I've had some that too much, too long.
Thank you.
Not great.
No, fair.
For what it is. But then I've had some that just perfect amount of time, tasted great. So it depends too on how people... You know,
I'm also the school of thought where I think
28 to 30 is the magic number.
That's what's.
Thank you.
Where you don't modify the taste over 40 days, you start to be gaming.
Yep.
Thank you, Frederick. So that was great. So yeah, he said that 28 to 30 days. Our lovely gentleman who's taking care of us tonight, Frederick. For that time period is like the sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get over that or into the 40 day, it can get gamey and get funky.
I think I've had like 46. I think I've had, God, what's the longest you can do it for?
I have no idea. I don't remember. I've had some old stuff.
I know that some steakhouses I've been to, I won't name them. I can think of one right now that they did. They're like, that was their selling point, like how long it was dry aged. And I was like, all right. I was with somebody at the time and he's like, let's do it. Let's have your best one and try it. And it was the longest. And I was like, This isn't great. So he's right on the money there. It's got to be that sweet spot.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, I like that they state on the website that it's 28 day. They specialize in the 28 day dried steak. I know. But before we leave today, I do want to see the dry aging room. I want to shoot a video of that, because if you've never seen a dry aging room, guys, it's sometimes it's a room. Sometimes it looks like a wine refrigerator and it just has meat in there. And, you know, that's just removing humidity, and it's just got a nice little tag on it and kind of letting you know when it was in and when it's going to be ready to be carved by the chef.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Our next course for you here is going to be our beet salad. So we serve this with golden red beets, a whipped feta, as well as a pistachio vinaigrette at the base.
Ooh.
Thank you.
So yes, a beet salad with both golden and red beets with a pistachio vinaigrette, and awesome. This looks so good. Remember, you ate red beets, Megan, tomorrow. All right? I don't want you texting me thinking you're dying because you forgot you ate red beets.
It'll just be another day.
Just be another day of Megan dying, not knowing.
How do I even? I just want a bite of everything.
Did you eat beets as a kid? Because I did not.
Well, my mom never.
My grandfather ate canned beets as a kid, and it would look like the most disgusting thing in the world to me. Now, I love them.
Depends on, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things as a kid that I don't think got good marketing. When we were kids, like Brussels sprouts did not get good PA.
No, Brussels sprouts got shitty marketing.
Shitty marketing.
Yeah.
Beets. Shitty marketing. No one could, you just got to dress them up a little bit.
Sorry, guys. I'm taking pictures of this food. Yeah, no.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that good, eh?
There's just a lot of texture to it.
I'm
and salt.
I'm a happy camper right now.
And sweet.
Oh. So all of the above, Megan Elizabeth. Oh, there we go. Now I finally got the camera right so I can take pretty pictures of this. Because I have the memory of a fruit fly sometimes. Sometimes when I come out of there, I'm like, what did you eat? I'm like, I don't remember.
You could fool me because you asked me if I remember stuff. And I'm like, no, but I just know it was really good.
and then I say that and then I'll remember a bunch of shit. So I guess it just depends on how much I drink. I haven't drank that much, so I'm going to remember this. Yeah, at least not yet. So you didn't eat beets as a kid?
No, I don't think so.
I ate no vegetables as a child.
Really?
No.
Well, that's not
And now I love them. Cuban people didn't eat vegetables.
Pork?
Yeah, just pork.
It was just pork.
I mean, pork, legumes, and rice.
Ooh,
that's
legumes.
Pretty much, yeah, that's, you know, we just had black beans and pork. That's pretty much the extent of our diet. I just didn't eat them as a kid. Even if I went to some crappy fast food, I would remove the lettuce and the tomatoes and anything that was remotely, that had color to it.
Anything. Oh, I'm sorry. This has color. Could you?
Yeah. And to think that now it's usually the first thing I go for is like,
colorful.
I want to find something with like some beautiful vegetables at every, there's a couple of great restaurants in LA, a place like a Birdie G's. In Santa Monica, where
I've heard about this place.
Oh my
goodness.
I've
read about this place.
It's super. And then the sister restaurant, Rustic Canyon, who was around first.
I've been to that place.
Yeah. And, you know, to state, like, the food at Rustic Canyon is great, but the best vegetables I've had were like and I wanted to go through the entire menu of vegetables because everything was so good. You know what I mean? Like, it was like some places you'll go to and like, oh, we specialize in this. And at Rustic Canyon, was like, everything was good. And every little like nuance in this dish, from the greens, the citrus, the onion, the pistachio, it works really well. Like, this is, and it's actually a really good size too for a chef's tasting. It's big.
Yeah, it's big.
Yeah, this is a good size for a chef's tasting.
Did we want to talk about my eclectic menu experience?
Yeah. Oh my God, please. Did we want to talk about your eclectic? I love it. It's your eclectic menu experience. Basically, that means that Megan sends me a picture of a menu and she's bitching. That's her eclectic menu experience.
I wasn't bitching.
I would have been.
I just want to get the name right of what it was, because now I'm blanking.
You blanking? No way.
It was downtown. I would recommend it because it was really cool location in the Arts District, I believe. It was...
Oh, that's right. You sent me the name and I can't remember now. It was a Mexican place, wasn't it? Like,
no.
No?
No, it's Korean. It's listed as Korean.
Oh, okay.
And it was really good. The food was really, really good. The service was really, really good. The server was nice. there is no complaints. The thing that shocked me, and I did talk to the server about it, was that the menu is so, they don't want to go as a fusion restaurant. I was told that they didn't want to be called a fusion restaurant, but there was no other word for it. They had like a tostada. Then they had a matzo ball soup. And then they had a bunch of fried food. And then they had...
Hashtag not a fusion restaurant.
So Jewish. And then they had Italian stuff in there. It was all over the place.
But you said it was great, but do you feel like pick your lane kind of thing?
I did. And I think I texted you that. It's like you can be fusion or you can... I came up with a term for it. I just pull up our messages because it was pretty funny because our whole messages that night, I was crying laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Because I made fun of you.
Yeah. And then she sends me like this like fat face picture of her laughing.
I was
which
crying.
I'm going to make her profile. But I have a really good angry face picture of her as her profile. So I don't want to get rid of that one, but this one is a close second. This one might just end up on our Instagram, I think. That's what I think I'm going to do. This will end up as the main tile for a real Instagram.
It's like we never even texted. Or did I send it to you on WhatsApp?
I don't know. Megan, I inhaled this thing. It's so good.
Oh, my God. Did you do that whole time?
It's so good. Oh, guys, so seriously, that is something... that this last dish right now, this beet salad, just really clean, cleanse the palate. I didn't even ask how many courses this is, but we're on course number three.
Moose, one, two.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So Yang Ban. Sorry, keep going.
Yang Ban was the name of the place.
Yang Ban.
What a name.
Good food.
Such a memorable
listed
name.
Listed as Korean in the 101 list, LA Times.
Okay.
Blue crab tostada. Trout schmear, wagyu stuffed paria leaf.
This is not at Alexander's, guys.
No, so no.
This is from another restaurant that Megan's talking about. I was like,
ball mandu. So that is like Korean in matzo ball. They have mole. I was just like, oh my gosh, like what? I asked him, I said, what is this? What is this? And he's like, it's Korean. I'm like, I live in Koreatown.
You're like, I don't know.
Yes, it's really, really good. It's a really cool place if you want to go on a date because it's really dark and dreary and fun and well decorated.
So you want to make the person you're with look better.
Nice and dark. I looked really good, but they sat me by myself in this huge giant booth and I just was like, oh my God, I look like a
you look like a mob
asshole.
Boss.
Yeah, I do. I was seeing if anyone was like looking over me. I thought about putting my hood over my head and just like pretending I was someone big and famous. But other than that, everything was really good. So yeah, if you're downtown, and I wouldn't say if you're looking for Korean food, I would say if you're looking for high-end good food, try it out. But yeah, I would say pick a lane a little bit. Pick a lane.
So that's one thing.
Really big portions.
I'm a diehard fan of like your traditional American steakhouse. I don't give a shit what anybody says. I love like going to a steakhouse for steak dinner. Mind you, I cook a great steak at home, but there's the, you know, like doing the dry aged steaks, the certain cuts of beef. I love going to the steakhouse. That's like, and I like sharing like the steak, like, oh, let's get a steak for the table and let's get this one with the bone and and like try all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I'm digging here is that hint of like some Asian fusion.
Yeah, and they definitely claim it too.
Yeah.
they're not just like, this is a pure steakhouse.
They're not like, wait a second.
Like, this is Japanese fusion.
Why is yuzu in this? No, it's really clear that it is, and the plating kind of gives that to me.
What's wrong with fusion right now? Is there a thing that people don't like? Is it a trend that people think is not great?
I'm wondering, is it people that are just like, oh, you're appropriating my culture, making it a few... I don't know.
I don't mind fusion if it's really good. I do if it's really bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, like, the only... And I posted about this, and this is the post that, like, people were giving me shit on TikTok over, is that I get annoyed when people call a Cuban sandwich a Cubano. It annoys the living piss out of me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things. It's like, that's the, you know, it's like the nails on the chalkboard for me. That's like one of those things. Or like, or they go and they order a cortadito and they're like, can I get a cortado? That makes me want to cunt punch somebody.
Oh.
That's just like, that's, yeah,
aggressive.
It's at that level. Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Cubano.
Yeah.
I'm just taking note of everything that annoys you. I'm really
excited.
You
do it all the time. So I don't mean, you know, so at this point.
Just more.
At this point, I don't think you could possibly annoy me
I
more.
I could write a book. Okay, so those are your things.
Fast forward and like Megan's like ChatGPTing a book.
Do you judge white people that say things wrong?
No, I don't judge white people that say things wrong. I judge when it's on like a menu and they're claiming it to be a certain dish.
The menu is, the restaurant is.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of what annoys the shit out of me. Where they'll have like a Cuban sandwich and it'll be, the hardest thing to get over there would be the Cuban bread. So that's fine. I understand if they don't have Cuban bread, that's fine. You know, they can do it with whatever they got. But the ingredients will be completely off.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, what, it has a pickle on it? Is that why it's cute? Oh, it has pork in it. Oh, it's a Cuban sandwich.
Pork.
Got it.
You just described it to me.
Pork and, you know, refugee tears. Mm. Oh, got it. That's great. That's exactly the recipe for a Cuban sandwich. And that's just, it's my thing. That's something.
Where
that,
do you buy those tears? Is it at Whole Foods or? I was just writing down your recipe.
My recipe? Whole Foods tears.
I like go to their customer service. I'm like, do you guys sell, what was it he said? Oh, refugees' tears here?
Yeah.
I'm trying to make a
We're trying to find that here.
That's when I get like punched in the face.
They're like, yes, ma'am. We have them in a dropper like bitters. There you go. You have like a little dropper of refugee tears. These are salty.
You're going to need to talk to our vitamin specialist.
A vitamin specialist at Whole Foods. Speaking of Whole Foods, I was going to ask you this. I kind of know what you're going to say. But I still want to ask you your thoughts on tomato sauces, but I want you to exclude the brand that you work with. You can still talk about
what
how great
brand?
They are.
Eat Happy Kitchen, Marinara?
Eat Happy Kitchen. Yes. So, yes, those are phenomenal. No, but they really are. All kidding aside, those they're delicious sauces. The puttanesca is still like my favorite one. I love that sauce. And then the pumpkin one that I had was really freaking good. But it's still a smaller brand and it's not as readily available. So this is a question about like readily available. You're in Colorado visiting and you have to buy like store-bought sauce. You have to. You're not doing the tomatoes for some reason. You don't have an emulsion blender, whatever the fuck. You have to buy store-bought sauce. What are you buying?
Shoot.
Oops. That was loud.
Truffle makes a good one, right?
Truff,
yeah.
You know, I actually haven't had it because I'm too cheap to pay for it.
Yeah, that's why.
Okay.
But I probably it's high end. All those are pretty high end. So truff, if I couldn't get Eat Happy Kitchen sauces, I would do truff. I like their stuff.
I like their like their hot sauce is the secret ingredient in a lot of sauces that I'll make. Like I'll drop a few drops of that in there because it just like makes everybody happier when they try it. Ironically, the truff makes people eat happy, which is great. but I haven't tried the pasta sauce. The reason I was mentioning it is because, you know, I can't remember who they sold to, but Rao's sold. And Rao's is probably my favorite store-bought sauce. Like, I could eat Rao's out of the jar, just open it and put a fucking spoon in there and eat it. I think it tastes like restaurant, you know, it tastes better than Olive Garden, level of sauce.
It's like our mortal enemy. That's why I wasn't mentioning
it. But fair. But
literally, because of their sales, because of what they've done, they've kind of just like taken over every single grocery store.
Well, the thing is, the reason why Rao's has taken over every single grocery store is because they sold to a huge company, and I just can't recall who they sold to. Let me see if I can find it. But
he's starting a whole new one.
They sold to Campbell's.
Yeah,
that's who it was. And people were afraid that Campbell's was going to change the recipe. Thank you. And Campbell's did not change the recipe. And that was the big thing. It's like, they were afraid. They're like, oh, shoot, we're going to go and buy Rao's. And it's not, you know, they're going to have added more sugar. Because at least for me, I got into it because it was a lower sugar, you know, like.
Or
like,
you could have no sugar.
Yeah. Or like Eat Happy Kitchen. But no, but it's, you know, because when people don't realize how much sugar is
in
added.
All those, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. It's tons of sugar that's added to all that. So if you can find one.
Well, don't worry, because the owner who sold, we're pretty sure he's starting a whole new marinara company. So
I guess he didn't have a non-compete. Good for him.
He's going to keep going.
Yeah.
Just starts getting big and selling because he obviously knows some sort of recipe and has a lot of money to do it.
I think he's done a little bit. He's done all right.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
Yeah, he or she. I don't know who the hell
it is. Yeah, if we can, that's my goal in the company. I mean, the owner of my company is a lot nicer than me. So my goal is to oust Rao's off those shelves.
Good.
Because we want our sauces in those
food
places.
And wine
they have
released
the best placement.
Well, Food and Rhyme released a study of like best overall, best old school red, best imported, and then best value, most reliable, and best like grocery store brand, which I thought was interesting because I never really buy grocery store brand. But Yeah, it was an interesting list. Like,
I did run across that, but it was just going to make me sad that we weren't on it.
You're
yet.
A new brand, Megan. Come on, but new-ish.
This doesn't mean we can't be on the list.
You can be
the
on the
best.
List at some point, but not yet.
We're in like almost all states right now.
Almost all states.
Almost all states, even Hawaii.
Hawaii,
not Alaska.
No, not Alaska.
We're in Hawaii, so
they should have it in Alaska.
You know, we don't have like a distribution up there yet.
Have you watched the show that's supposed to be in Alaska, but they didn't really film it there? The new True Detective.
With Jodie Foster, I have not, but I've heard it's really, really
good. It's spectacularly good. Yeah. And then they made up the city that they're in, like a city called Innis, Alaska, which doesn't exist, and they essentially just made it up. But they filmed the whole show in Iceland. Which makes sense. It is. It's fucking hard. It's like it's sad to watch because it's dark. It's basically pitch black the entire show. But it's. Oh wait, we have more food, guys. We have more food. Sorry.
Sorry. For
the no, you're not interrupting. Please. I love it.
This course, we have our braised pork belly.
Oh shit.
This sits within its own glaze. On top, we have a collier, some caviar, our house-made chicharrón, and some daikon ranch on the side.
Thank you. So, guys, Megan, of course, you know, Eddie's eating pork again. This dish, I can smell it. It is everything that I love about pork. But if you didn't hear the gentleman who brought the dish down, it is this beautiful glazed pork belly, caviar. It's got a chicharrón on top, a quail egg, daikon radish, this... like spectacular looking. It's so exciting that Megan just got up. She's like, I'm gonna go dance around the room. No, just kidding. She's closing the door. But this came down and I'm like, all right, so we've got every little thing that I need in life with caviar. Like, I love them. If you're hearing a clicking, guys, that's my camera because this dish is just too beautiful.
It's like the egg.
It's gorgeous.
On it. Can you guys even see?
I'm sorry, guys. I'm so quiet. I know.
No.
Don't go into the light.
Oh, my God.
Don't go into the light.
That's crazy.
Oh, it looks amazing. All right. Oh, you showed it to camera, Megan?
I tried.
Thank you.
Put your pork boner down.
Put pork boner
your,
down. All right.
Your porker. Porner.
What?
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Megan, are you ready for this?
I think so.
Oh, my gosh. Megan, we're at an hour. Should we stop and start?
We could stop or just stop. That was a full sentence.
Yeah.
With two verbs? I mean, it's been an hour.
Let's do a part one and a part two.
Okay.
All right. So I'll jump in now and say goodbye.
I'm not going to edit it out. Say goodbye.
She's so lazy. All right, thanks, Megan. Well, guys, stay tuned. You'll find out what this pork belly tastes like next week.